Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Well, hello, my beautiful spiritual hustlers, and welcome back to the podcast. You guys, I am feeling freaking amazing. I'm just going to shed some positive vibrations onto you guys as you're listening, hopefully to the resonance of my voice, because I am staring out the window of my little podcast studio in Nashville. There is not a cloud in the sky. The leaves are all still green. It is no longer a freaking sauna in Nashville. It is crisp and warm and sparkling and beautiful. Transparently, I just came off of a parasite cleanse, a juice cleanse, and I got rid of all the toxins in my body. I feel effervescent. You guys, that's a whole other episode, but we should talk about coffee enemas and parasite cleanses. And I know that might gross you out, but I'm telling you, it is such a secret hack to living in your highest vibration. And the truth is, you guys, I'm going to be honest. I was feeling a lot of density in my body all summer. I actually took a sabbatical. I took a secret sabbatical, which was absolutely amazing. I took a month off for the first time in my life. And I worked to plan that month-long break literally a year ago, built the whole business roadmap around being able to do that. I feel like I worked 40 plus years to take a month off, which is crazy. This is the new earth business that I'm creating. And it was amazing. And I had such an incredible time. It was like, I didn't go anywhere. I didn't really travel. I took one trip, but I'll get to that in a second. But I was really just home in my life in Nashville. And I wanted to experience what it was like to have nothing on my schedule for the first time in my life and wake up in the morning every day and do what I felt like doing, whether that was take a class, like a yoga class, or go to the pool, or take a hike, or run an errand, or sleep in, snuggle with my dogs, meditate. It was unbelievable. But the truth is, I had traveled to Europe for 10 days for my retreat at the beginning over 4th of July weekend. For my Seven Sisters Mastermind, I went to Avalon, which I've talked about. I went to DC with my dad, which was such a sweet trip. I got such delicious time with my dad, who's 79. And we looked at all the monuments and sites. My dad's a total history buff. And the truth is, like, I just felt like I had stuff in my gut that wasn't serving me. So I did a juice cleanse and a parasite cleanse, and I'm feeling so amazing. Because right before the beginning of August, when I got back from my trip, I went into the Brilliant Summit. I went into the FFBS launch. So many beautiful women inside this container. The program has started. I love this community so hard. I'm not going to lie. I was feeling really heavy in my body. I just was like, this isn't me. And sometimes we just have to surrender to the shadow and the darkness and attend to it. And I share all of this to just say that no matter how bright someone might seem on the internet or on social media or in their business or in their life, everyone is battling their own secret challenges and are up against their own mountain. And I really felt that way about my guest today. She's a woman that I connected with years and years ago on social media. And I was like, that girl is a baller. That girl is killing the game. She's so in her queendom, running a ridiculously successful real estate business, built this beautiful team, this beautiful brand, top 1% of earners in the country. And as I got to know Kelly Parker through, honestly, Instagram DMs, I was like, wow, this girl is a real one. She's walking a path that is not easy. She really has chosen to live as a light worker. and was building her business very differently on the codes of the quantum and manifestation and feminine energy and alignment, and really had to write her own script. And that was not a straight line for her. She lost her house in a fire. And I was so blessed and honored that Kelly reached out to me after that experience to work with me as her coach. And we jumped into a month-long container where the way that I was able to guide Kelly was such a gift and such a privilege. And the awareness that she has always had, but really came into a whole new level of depth and consciousness in the last year, inspired me to bring her on this podcast. Her story, her work, her perspective is so deeply inspiring. And I just need you to know, whether you're feeling stuck in your body like I was, whether you're feeling stuck in your business, whether you have a tragedy or a traumatic event that happens in your life. And I really believe that all of us are just walking through life every single day, trying to do our best, no matter how good it looks on the outside, that you take away from this conversation that you can always find your light in any circumstance if you're willing to do the work. And that looks different for all of us. And so Kelly Parker is going to take you through her story today. You're going to learn so many codes around how to build a feminine-led business. You're also going to learn how to unlock the real meaning of alignment and that you can build a beautiful, joyful life no matter what life hands your way. And that is really the biggest takeaway that I had from this conversation: to not play victim, to take radical self-responsibility, to let yourself feel the feelings, because that's the only way we can alchemize them, to not avoid them, to move through them with so much conviction that we not only survive the dark moments, but those moments are actually where we find our power and how we thrive. And Kelly is a living, walking embodiment of that in action. So you're welcome in advance for this conversation, because it is such a gift. She is such a gift, not only to me, not only to the women she serves in her community, but to the world. And without further ado, here is my amazing conversation with Kelly Parker.
I'm just so excited that you're here in the flesh with me. Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler podcast, babe.
Thanks for having me, and to meet you in the flesh.
It's so weird because, you know, those connections you have for years and you're like, how have I've never met you before?
Yeah, it's weird.
It's like, well, we've known each other.
We know each other.
Lifetimes though. Mm-hmm. Not just in like the Chicago ecosystem of running in concentric circles.
No.
But like soul history. A soul history. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so excited to dig into your story, your codes. And I have a lot of things I want to unpack with you before I get into the goods. I have to start with the very first question that I ask every guest that comes on my show.
Okay.
Which is, what are you spiritually hustling for right now?
Oof. I mean, I think we shared in some similar ways around, I am truly spiritually hustling to help other women really see their worth. Mm. And to genuinely understand their power.
Yeah, you are.
And their innate wisdom. And that they are the only person that can set them free. And the sooner that we know that and can live that and embrace that, I mean, I feel like so much of my journey was so that I could help people figure that out sooner.
You're doing it. You have been on this like massive, you know, expansion. I mean, I can't wait to dig into your business, the two businesses actually that you've built. But I want to start with sort of I would call it a unexpected jolt on that ascension last year when you had a fire and you lost your house.
Yeah.
And you sell houses. You're in the housing industry.
I'm a realtor.
You're a realtor. And so if you don't mind sharing, I know it's a big question, but How did that moment shift your perspective on your life and your business? Yeah. And why don't you tell us what happened?
Yeah.
If you can.
Yeah, happy to. I mean, it's probably the first time I'll like really share it in like a true sense. People know about it and ask about it, but it's always so interesting and seeing people ask about it. And then we kind of like immediately go to the like empowered place of it.
Sure.
I I refer to it now as like, it was my cosmic crumble. It was, or my, like a true, like quantum, like just total crumble. And as someone who has valued homes as much as I do, I not like the literal home, but the like metaphorical, like what it represents in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, it is so important. It was so important to me and to the many other people that I serve. And so to lose my own home was, I mean, beyond devastating. And especially because part of my story and part of why I'm in real estate is because when I was 13 years old, like we lost our home and for reasons that were sort of out of my parents' control. And I didn't know that could happen. And so at a young age, it, you know, it stuck with me. And I've learned as we grow that we really go and heal where we hurt. And so it's no surprise that I got into real estate because I really wanted to help other people, you know, have these solid foundations that they could grow and thrive and be their most authentic selves in. And I just knew how powerful it was in our lives. And so I got into real estate, you know, way back 16 years ago with such a true calling. And never did I expect that the thing that meant the very most to me in so many ways would just literally like overnight disappear. And so it was a moment that changed everything. And so,
You were sleeping, right?
We were sleeping. It was the middle of the night. We had just returned home from a trip. And so we'd only been asleep for about 2 hours.
Okay.
And I woke up. Something woke me up.
Yeah, tell that part.
Yeah, one of my, I'm pretty sure I know which one of my like ancestral like guides woke me up.
Yeah.
And she's always been present in that house. And I woke up out of nowhere and I sat up and I literally hit my husband. Like something is wrong. And we both sat up and we sat there for a minute and listened. And I could hear like a creaking in the house. And I'm like, oh, somebody broke in. So I jumped out of my bed thinking someone was in the house to go check on my daughter.
Who's how old?
8.
Wow.
And so I ran into her room and I was looking for her like in the bed. Because I think every parent's like worst nightmare.
Of course.
Is that your kid's been stolen out of your house.
Yeah.
And so I went looking for her in the bed. And when I finally found her like crunched up at the very top of the bed, I put my hands on her and I realized she was in the bed. And I looked up and I could see like glowing orange in the vent above her bed. And that's when I realized, oh my gosh, our attic's on fire. And so I naturally like screamed to my husband. I was like, the house is on fire. And I scooped that little girl up and carried her out of the house. And fire department came and the attic was on fire. So we went outside. We went outside and I looked back and I realized, oh my gosh, like it's like the house is actually fully on fire. And so we stood there in the middle of the street on a cold February night, middle of the night, about 1:30 in the morning, and just watched the fire department do what the fire department does, which is put out fires, but at all cost. And it ended up just completely destroying our entire home. We lost everything in it. The house was not salvageable. And so, yeah, I mean, over a course of a couple hours, we went from living comfortably in that house to being taken in by our neighbors, which are just some of the dearest souls forever in my life. And just sort of started to figure out where we go from there.
I mean, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard this story before and just listening to you recount it, my body was like shivering and chilling the whole time you were talking about, because you can feel, I'm an empath, but it's not my experience. Just you can feel the gravity of that moment. And you and I reconnected just a few months after this happened. And you were really, truly in it. And if you don't mind sharing, you know, what is the next day and the day after? And where do you go from there? What do you do?
Yeah. I mean, so the next... I mean, we didn't go to sleep that night.
Yeah.
I went, our neighbors took us in and then I started to go into shock when I like really realized what happened. And I put my daughter to bed, and Ian needed to stay out with the police because the house was like completely open. Like they knocked all the doors down, broke all the windows. I mean, it was completely open. And so I stood in this neighbor's Airbnb unit in their basement, got her to sleep. And it was a weird moment where I could feel my higher self understand that this was happening for me. Mm. And I could equally feel my human self completely fall apart.
Yeah, of course.
And that's a moment that I just, it stuck with me. And so we didn't sleep and we got up the next morning and I called my brother and I said, I think I need some help. I don't know what I need. Yeah. And then it gets weird. Then there's insurance and there's fire inspectors and there's people interviewing you to make sure you didn't burn your own house down. And you go into a true adrenaline state. Mm. So about 5 or 6 days, it was just adrenaline. It was mobilization. It was talking to insurance to understand what we needed to know. It was trying to see if there was anything salvageable before mold starts to grow or anything like that. It's fire department and inspectors and all of the things. And trying to keep things normal for an 8-year-old.
Right.
And trying to get her back into school and trying to do some things. And so this happened on a Sunday night. Saturday morning, I was supposed to do an open house for a listing I had.
Wow.
Where I had told my team, I got it. It'll be good for me. I totally can do it. That's great. We'll go. And my team knew way better than I did. And I showed up and I walked in that door of this other home I was selling. And my team was there and I just literally stopped functioning. And I realized, oh, now we're on the like come down. And so there's adrenaline and then you bottom out from that for about 3 weeks where I just truly could not function. I would get in the car to go buy a pair of running shoes and I'd sit in my car in front of the running shop and I couldn't even get out. Hmm. And that's really confusing to someone who's a doer,
yeah.
who gets shit done.
Yeah.
To not truly not be able to do anything. Hmm. And I surrendered to that in the moment the best that I could.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, it's like your brain breaks. Like you can't make sense of it. And for me, I truly just could not make sense of it. I kept thinking, I don't care about the stuff. I don't care about losing the stuff. I just couldn't understand of all of the people who truly, everything in my life was to create and build a safe, secure place for myself and my family.
Yeah.
And how could that get taken away? Not on my terms. Mm-hmm. And that was the struggle. And that was the wrestle that I was doing.
Yeah.
So that went on for about 3 weeks. And then I decided, you know, I need something to ground myself in here. And I'm going to get back to work. And I made the choice to go back to work. And spring market in Chicago is booming.
Yeah.
And I worked and I just sort of put my head down and worked from, you know, March until about June. And it was on the other side of that, kind of came out of the spring market and I realized, oh gosh, I am really burned out. Mm-hmm. And on the sort of like the come down, it all came down.
That's when you and I reconnected.
That's when we reconnected. That's when I reached out to a lifeline.
I just want to say in awe of you for letting yourself go into the dark. Mm-hmm. And thank you for reaching out to me as that lifeline, guiding you as someone who's walked the path of burnout, certainly not having gone through a trauma like what you've been through. But I really want to acknowledge you for accepting the assignment and surrendering and letting yourself be in it. Because mm-hmm. I think I say this in my book, I say this all the time, like we find our light in the dark, yes, but that's oftentimes a very long process
yeah.
to get to the light.
Yeah.
But I want to bring up something that you actually reached out to me at the beginning of this year after the LA fires.
Yeah.
Because you're from Altadena,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, well, La Cañada, right adjacent.
Right adjacent yeah. to it. So you grew up there. And I mean, when you reached out to me and you told me that. I mean, it's one thing to have your home burned down and then to see something like what happened in LA and have the relatability, but for it to be where you were from.
Yeah.
And you shared something, and I don't want to mince your words, but I really want to click into it because it was quite profound. You use that moment. I think you acknowledge in yourself that there was something that activated within you that wasn't a re-traumatization of you losing your house, seeing your hometown burn, but a call to service.
Yeah.
You were meditating. Something came through. And I would love for you to share, if you can recall, what you downloaded.
Yeah. It makes me emotional when you, I don't say I forgot about it.
Yeah.
But I
stayed with me.
I grew up out there and I was watching it all on TV. And there is, I mean, you have PTSD from any of this, right?
Sure.
So there was that in the moment. And I got a text from a friend out there who said, "Hey, this is going to be about your house. And if you don't want to look at this text, I understand." And I knew in that moment, I was like, I can make a choice here and I can let this re-traumatize me, or I can make stand in a slightly more healed place and lean into helping in this time. And so I did. And I never thought I'd be the person that would have this treasure trove of information about what to do when these things happen.
Right.
But I could help them in that moment. And I really realized, and I think this is part of what I shared in addition to that meditation, was I had spent the last year really trying to heal myself by taking actions and doing things to try to to sort of go within.
Mm-hmm.
When I was helping them and I was able to pour my love out, mm-hmm. and channel that frequency of love into helping other people, it was like I literally could feel myself healing. And that was a wild experience. Not to say that I'm not still healing and still going through that, but I was meditating around one of those couple of days. And during that meditation, because what started the fires was the wind.
Mm.
And during the meditation, I had this very clear download that the wind that sort of waved through the town was a new wave of consciousness. And that there had to be a purification for this to come through. And it was also in that moment that I could understand my story as well, right? That this was fire's purification.
Yeah.
And for me, I do believe, like I said, it was this, it felt like this quantum crumble, but it was really, it was to sort of let the next thing, the birth and to rise at a different frequency, at a different level of consciousness I think all of this is truly welcoming in.
Yes. Fire is a transmutable, transformative alchemization energy. It is here to purify. And I loved that because it spoke to me, but it really spoke of you and your consciousness and your ability to tune in to truth with a capital T. And I thank you for sharing that. I think it really brings your business anchors in the beautiful irony of what you do for a living and that you have come through to some degree on the other side of it. And you have built a business in what I consider a very 3D world, mm-hmm. in the most conscious of ways. Like, this has always been who you are. I think it's why we saw each other as sisters in mirrors and reflectors of light for years on social media. Cause it's this girl has an awakeness to her that is rare. And it's especially rare in your industry.
Yeah.
And yet you have taken a totally intuitive, somewhat magical approach to building your business, Home Collective.
Yeah.
I want to start there. Because you talk about, when I think of Kelly Parker, I think of the word alignment.
Mm.
I do. You're, I want you to own that, because it is truly like what you embody and what I see you being known for and how I've always observed the way you move through life. But you are like, what, in the top 1% in the industry, like across the country, like you're a baddie.
Thanks.
You have this big team and this beautiful business and this gorgeous brand and this amazing reputation, but you didn't build it the way that you were told to build it.
No, I didn't.
So what was that instinct? Like, where did that come from? Is one part of my question. And then can you talk about how you did it?
How you're
doing it?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a journey, right? It's been 16 years. It started in 2009. There was no housing market, y'all. It had crashed.
People were like,
this girl is crazy. My parents are like, are you sure about this? Like, all of your friends have lost their job and you are literally quitting your paying gig to go into being self-employed. And I was like, yeah, I got
it. In real estate, of all places.
I got to help people. This is my calling. Wow. And I knew it was my calling. And so I jumped in with no question. And you know, I reflect back as really like the first 8 years of building my business and building Home Collective was so aligned. And I know that's why it was successful. Like I was successful. It sounds weird to say these things about ourselves, but I started at 26 and by 4 years in, I was at what's considered like top producer status within the city of Chicago.
Damn.
And at a time when people were not buying and selling houses. And so I, for a long time, I really thought like, it's just because I was so clear on my why and I was so driven by that. But I also can see at that time that I remember vividly listening to how people were coaching and training on how to build your business and listening and saying, oh yeah, no, that's not for me. I was very in touch with my gut knowing with just what felt right to me. And I think I just gave myself that permission early on. Maybe it's like those crazy 26-year-olds who are like, fuck you, I'm not taking your advice.
I'm smarter than you.
Way. Yeah. And I think there was a lot of that actually where I was like, I'm just going to do it my way, but I'm going to do it in the way that feels right to me. And I was very unapologetic about it. And I know that that's why it was successful is I knew my strategy. I knew my authority. Like I use human design a lot in my coaching and come to find out now that I know that's what it is now, that's how I was living and how I was building it. And so I was solo for the first about 4 or 5 years and then I started Home Collective and I started that from a place of, I just want to help other women. Mm-hmm. I want, the way that I am doing this is very different. And I wanted to help another woman do the same. I needed help. I needed support. And I was like, this can be a collective effort.
Yeah, beautiful.
I don't want to name it after myself. Let's call it Home Collective. And I mentored her and she's still on my team this many years later. And it organically grew and built from that place. So it's interesting, right? Because that's what I did for the first 8 years for sort of, in true alignment with me. But there was a part of me that felt like, I think I'm getting lucky.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm not going to really tell anybody what I'm doing because there's a lot of ease to this and everyone really seems to be struggling. So I'm just going to like stay underground. And I was very underground about it. Now I know what was happening at the time. I was living in alignment with myself. I understood co-creation. I understood manifestation. I understood those codes. And so I let that be what it was. And then around the 8 year mark, I had my beautiful daughter.
Yeah. Hazel. I'm obsessed with. I think that was really what hooked me into your account. I was like, her daughter is a star seed.
She is.
She's so special.
She is. She's a spark.
I'm like obsessed with her. Like light. Every time I would see her on your eyes pause, I'm like, oh, Hazel's on. She's magical.
Hazel's on. I have to show you a video of her that you will love. And because she's my greatest teacher.
Of course.
She, you know, and we might talk about this sort of like frequency of love and what she has taught me at her very young 3-year-old age. But I had her at that time, it was like the end of 2016. And it was really interesting when I look back at my journey because I went, 8 years feeling great. And I had her And then about 4 years after having her, I found myself incredibly burned out and really resentful of the industry and my business. And I was like, this is really unusual for someone who loves what I'm doing and loves my clients. And I don't understand why I feel this way.
Okay, sisters, truth bomb time. Your brain and your nervous system don't give a flying F about your goals, your dreams, or your next launch strategy. The only thing that they are seeking is familiarity. That's why healing and growth and expansion often feels like resistance. That's because it's unfamiliar. Microflow is here to change that. Founded by Christy Nault, a root cause health expert, Microflow blends psilocybin, yep, that's magic mushrooms, lion's mane, cacao, rose, and blue lotus into the cleanest microdosing supplements on the market. 100% organic, Reiki infused, and third-party lab tested. Now, these formulas, which I have been using for 3 years and have completely changed my life, are designed to quiet what Christy calls the default mode network, aka your brain's autopilot, and ignites what's called neurogenesis, helping your brain to build new pathways wired for vitality, trust, receptivity, courage, abundance, confidence, and connection. Whether you're addressing anxiety, which I've struggled with, ADHD, burnout, which I've struggled a lot with, or just want to feel more clear and in flow in your everyday life, Microflow is a nervous system resourcing tool that is safe for everyday life. Yes, even while parenting, working, driving, or even podcasting. Wink, wink. I want you to start with the Exude and Surrender bundle, which harmonizes your system to sync with your cycle and the lunar flow of the moon. And for somatic healing and deeper journeys, the Theta Blend supports breathwork, intimacy, and your spiritual practice. Now, if you are ready to upgrade the entire technology of your cells in your body and rewire your subconscious mind, go to microflowhealing.com, use code Jessica10 for $10 off of your order and receive access to Christy's free 2.5 hour magic mushroom microdosing masterclass. Yep, all my goodies just for you. That's microflowhealing.com and use Jessica10 to get $10 off of your order.
And it was then that I decided to take a sabbatical, a 4 month sabbatical in 2020, which was the best year of my career, And I was a shell of a human. And I was like, I can't do it like this anymore. And I think I'm going to get out of the business is what I said.
Wow.
And so I decided to take a sabbatical. I'm like, let me take a four months and really evaluate what's going on here. And it was at the end of that 4 months that I realized that the first 8 years were built in like true alignment. And that when I had my daughter, it's like these limiting beliefs came up and got louder than my inherent truth. And the fear of not being able to do it as well while being a mom, the fear of feeling like I had to prove something now because I was a mom and feeling like maybe I just got lucky the first 8 years. So let me make this really hard on myself. And also I can't possibly keep doing what I'm doing. I need to grow.
Yeah.
Like you kind of like layer on these things. And I clicked out of my knowing and into a lot of loud voices and ways of being and ways of doing things that were truly just driven from fear and scarcity.
Yeah.
And some limiting beliefs there that went unchecked. And that just led me to burnout.
As it always will. Yes.
And so so it was at that moment that was also when I was listening to your podcast and realized, oh my gosh, like, wait a second, you know, this, what had happened? Why did it feel so good? And then why has it felt so terrible? And that's what I was sharing. I realized I was super aligned those first 8 years and then got really out of alignment. And it was now my work to get back to that place.
I want to go back to those 8 years that you were in alignment, just to really click in and dig into the mechanics, if you will, of how you were doing it differently. Yeah. We'll talk about present state, Kelly, but I want to go back to those 8 years. Cause I mean, you hit a frequency, you got into alignment. And when you say I was doing it differently, you know, I go to like the traditional sort of real estate grind of like hustling, sales, grind, like just the inauthenticity that can kind of come within that world. And so if you can break down like tactically, cause I think whether they're, you know, women listening, whether they're in real estate or not, like you're an entrepreneur, you've built this amazing team, brand, business, clientele, revenue. In relation to the world of real estate, yes, but just overarchingly, what were you doing in the way Kelly was doing it that no one else seemed to be doing it in relation to what's common?
Yeah. I mean, when I was truly just showing up as myself.
Yeah.
And I think that I believed that I belonged there and that I knew what I was doing, even though I might have been new.
Wow.
Because I knew that my job was to help people. And I might not have all the answers and I might not know everything, but I was committed to being that person for people. And that was enough to make me worthy of being in that space. And because I saw myself as being qualified and worthy, other people saw me as that as well.
Snaps.
And so I think that was a big part of it.
Where it starts. It has to.
Where it starts.
Yeah, that foundation of self-image and self-worth to really believe that you belong where you want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I also think I kept my head down. Like I did not let the noise get in. I had very hardcore blinders on. I didn't sit in certain rooms. I didn't go to certain things. I really was like, I trust myself. And for me, that looked like authentic relationships. That looked like pouring into my clients, like being that person for them that would advocate for them, that they knew had their back, that they trusted immensely, who also provided a really great experience. And so, and then they referred me and they shared my name. But I also, you know, it's going to sound crazy, but I also did things where it's like, someone would ask something as simple, like, hey, who wants to sit this open house? And I would feel it in my gut. Like, I'm going to go, I'm going to do that. And I also was very clear on how we co-create with the universe. I understood the mechanisms and the things that have to come first, from energetics to the feeling behind it, to the clarity of your vision and surrender and releasing the how and the when and showing up, you know, just in the ways that felt right for me. And I could see it time and again where I would respond to my gut knowing, right? Like take that opportunity or go walk in that room or go speak to that person and just be of value to that. And it just unfolded opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. But again, like every opportunity was an expansion of the next.
Yeah.
And at every opportunity, there was always a moment where I was like, I don't know if I'm qualified to be here. I was like, I don't really care. I'm going to figure it out.
Right.
And I knew that to be really true for myself is that I would figure it out. I did not outsource. And I think this is really important. I didn't outsource my wisdom or my inner guidance. You know, I didn't. And this happens a lot. And I see it still happening in every way, right? Like we are taught and told that we don't know best. So go learn from others and let them be the one to qualify you.
Right.
And if you pass the test, then you are worthy to go ahead and proceed. And I didn't opt into that.
Were you always wired this way, like from a young age? Yeah.
I knew my intuition was high.
Yeah.
I knew that my frequency was high.
Yeah.
I knew that I was experiencing and feeling things in such an empathic way. You know, our childhoods are interesting places, right? Grounds for learning these things. And so I think I've always known I'm probably a very old soul and had many lives.
Yeah.
And So yes, I think that I had a propensity for the unseen, but I always followed my interests, right?
Yeah.
And I went there. And
this reminds me of so much. I mean, I love this whole conversation around self-worth and personal agency and power. I have a whole chapter in my book, The Lightwork, called Power, Claiming Radical Responsibility. And in it, I talk about a lot of things, but I start that chapter by asking the reader, like, what if you took away like the great job, money in the bank, and the hot boyfriend and the perfect body and the awards and the accolades, like, would you still have worth? And the answer is yes. And we forget that. We come into this human experience with truly amnesia. It's an amnesia trip to be a human. And we spend our divine timeline remembering the mm-hmm. truth that we are worthy and that we don't need any outsourced validation
right.
to anoint us with the keys to the car called our life. Like right. we've always been in the driver's seat. And when you really wake up and activate into that truth, you become empowered, self-empowered, and your life changes. And I think it's such a beautiful testimony to what's possible when we really have that orientation towards our own worth and power.
And the thing that's really interesting for me is that I know for a fact that part of what led to my burnout was actually not understanding my worth. Mm. I don't want to say not understanding my worth, but looking for validation from outside.
Absolutely. Right? Always. Totally.
And so I think that when I say like early on with that confidence and like feeling like I belonged, I don't know that I necessarily felt fully worthy. Sure. Right. I was because what happened part of this journey was a real reckoning moment of like, there's no amount of clients that will say positive things about me that seem to be able to fill this insatiable drive for approval and love and validation.
Yes.
And it was that moment that I was like, I think I need to take a break.
Mm. So you took your 4-month sabbatical at the peak of your burnout?
Yeah.
And what was that like for you? Like taking that much time off, which feels like such a luxury for so many of us.
I wish I embraced it more.
Mm. Wow.
I look back and think, oh my gosh, what a luxury. But at the time I felt so broken and so broken down and so disappointed with like the business and the industry and just like, how did I get here?
Mm-hmm, totally. I understand that feeling so well.
This was 10 years. I've worked so hard for 10 years to build this beautiful thing and I'm just going to walk away. Mm. And so it was really confronting and it was really hard. And so I spent a lot of the time trying to figure it out, how did I get here and what's next. I wish I just would have spent more time napping. Like truly.
Yeah, totally. Right.
And not trying to like click into the next thing. But with that, there was still a lot of spaciousness and a lot of just honesty with myself.
Yeah.
Of how did this happen and how did you get here? And what does this mean, you know, for going forward? So the end of the day, I think anything like that is actually quite capable for all of us. We just have to be brave enough to make the decision.
Yeah.
And, you know, to the circumstances of the time, it seemed absolutely insane.
I get it.
Yeah.
But you and I have had many conversations about, you know, our parallel trajectories in various ways. And I just relate so deeply to your story of like feeling so in the pocket for so long until one day you don't.
Mm, yeah.
And then that burnout just takes you down. And I never had the luxury of 4 months off. And I so relate to like, if I had 4 months off, I probably wouldn't have napped either and been thinking and strategizing around my future and future tripping with all that space.
Yeah.
But you know, I sold my business. There was a point in time though, I was ready to give away my business and burn my business down. You didn't throughout the burnout. You have Home Collective. Yeah. It's still thriving, but you went into a new space.
Yeah.
And it's really, look at your face as I brought that up. You just lit up where you are coaching women in your space on Aligned Ambition.
Yeah.
It's the name of the business. So what was that sort of birthing like? What was that? How did that come into the fold? And why did you, and how did you go back to maintaining Home Collective at the same time?
Yeah. I mean, great questions. The birthing of Aligned Ambition was at the end of that sabbatical.
Cool.
Yeah. It was a moment in the shower.
As it always is.
As it always is. I mean, I had been asking the universe the whole time, why did this happen? What is next? I don't understand. And as I even hear myself say that, I can see so many patterns of that at every great like evolution in my journey. I was in the shower. I was listening to your podcast
again
about emerging leaders.
I'll never forget.
But emerging leaders.
Loved that one.
And so it was on. I'm like showering. I'm thinking, you know, like I shared, there was this time where it felt I could recognize the pattern. And it was as soon as I really recognized the pattern where it was very clear that the reason I had had this experience was so that I could help other women in the industry. And with that, that was really the birthing of my coaching, to realize like, wait, this did not happen to me. This is happening for other women so that I can go out and really help other women in real estate specifically to know that there is a different way.
Yeah.
And while I was, you know, blessed those first 8 years to just really trust myself and to be able to discover it that way.
Yeah.
I also experienced the flip side very dramatically for those next four. And now my work was to really get back to living from that place and to share those messages and codes and coaching with other women.
And you're doing it. And I want to talk about the irony that your industry is like, what's the percentage of women to men?
65% of our industry is women.
Right.
And the majority of the coaches are men.
Men, right. It's a very masculine industry.
Hyper-masculine industry.
Hyper-masculine industry. And you're, you know, operating from this place of alignment and intuition, and this is, you know, what your codes have always been, clearly, and how you built your successful ascension. You're helping women now really align. And I love that you have the word ambition in your business, by the way. It's like the spiritual hustler.
It is. It's the reframe.
It's so good. It's like beautiful alignment. But do you think, and this might be an odd question, but I'm interested to get your perspective. Do you think that spirituality and all of these things we're talking about has a place in real estate? Is real estate ready for it? I'm glad I asked this.
Yeah, I mean,
you clearly have a big opinion about it.
Is real estate ready for it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's 2025, y'all. Can we just embrace that there are many things happening at once? And for me, I mean, I have the businesses that I have because it was a part of it. It was a part of the equation. And so, I mean, I think that I know the women that I'm having conversations with embrace it and understand and can understand it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, that kind of like, I'm like, going off by the question. I'm like, I don't know if it's ready for it, but
the reason why I ask is because I coached you.
Yeah.
And you're galactic, Kelly. Like you understand the quantum mechanics of like how this place works. And you're, you know, deeply coded in human design. And I was helping you with your website and your messaging. And, you know, I'm sharing this because I think it's really gonna help people who are listening.
Yeah.
Who feel like they have to, regardless of industry, like real estate, we can just make that one example, feel like they have to temper their spiritual conscious codes to be acceptable. They don't want it to be, you know, too woo-woo or off-putting. When really, like, you've been doing this, it works. You have the money and the success and, you know, to prove it. Like, we can translate your codes into the material world very directly. And yet there's at times resistance around, will, if I, yeah. if I speak this out loud, if I really bring this into the forefront of my message, of my services, of my core value proposition in these 3D hyper masculine patriarchal paradigms, right. will I be rejected? Will I be less successful? And you're, I see you really stepping into it. So the question is, what are you doing in order to hold that trust more? How would you advise women who are similarly up against that same fear?
Yeah, I mean, the greatest unlock for all, every element of my business has been to lean into the things that I know are true and right for me. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was allowing my spirituality to be a part of my business strategy. And so I did it in the way that was authentic for me.
Yeah.
And everybody gets permission to do it in the ways that are authentic for them.
Yeah.
And I think that we are at the point where we can accept that everybody at the end of the day, that the success is coming from doing it through what feels right and authentic for you.
Totally.
And so to me, that's what I really ultimately want to do, is give women more permission to do that.
Yeah.
To stop trying to fit in the box that any industry has prescribed you, and instead just live your truth. Just set yourself free, and it will literally unlock all of your big, ambitious goals and dreams.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big part of that alignment piece, is like, you can only align as far as you are willing to be honest.
So good and so true. And the thing about alignment, because I talk about it a lot, it's the unlock for you internally, for you to feel more fulfilled, more in flow, more alive, yeah. more joyful.
Yeah.
And that's a gift, right? We should feel that way in our own day-to-day worlds. However, the true, I think, secret sauce that people forget is when you get into alignment as a business owner or as a business leader, and you're going out into the market to get clients, your clients become aligned,
yeah,
to your frequency. Mm-hmm. And then you're having more joy, fulfillment, flow, and abundance in your business.
Yeah.
Because not everybody is going to be for you.
Right.
Like, there is going to be people who like are like, what's human design? Like, why does she talk about Pleiadians all the time? Like, I'm not going to be for everyone. You're not going to be for everyone. Right. But when we step into our truth, it becomes the true magnetism.
Yes.
For such a beautifully abundant business that feels good.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I have proof of that all over my business. Like, right. I know, the real estate industry likes to talk a lot about leads.
Yeah.
And I always say, like, I'm not here for leads. I'm here for aligned clients. And if we're just just living our truth and putting it all out there so that the right people can find us, that just compounds
it does.
And grows exponentially.
Yes.
So like, I have a referral based business because I'm attracting the right people who want to tell their friends and family about me. And those are my people. Mm-hmm. And so that would only be the case. That is only the case because I'm being who I am.
Who you are.
And because I allow it to be a part of the conversation. I don't sit down with my clients and be like, we're going to talk about how to like manifest your like house, right? But I am sitting down and saying, tell me your greatest desire. Tell me your ideal home. I want to hear it all because I genuinely believe it's actually really available for you. And a lot of times we limit ourselves. We don't think that these things are possible for us, right? And so what I'm doing is, when I'm having these conversations, we're actually setting the energetic frequency. We're casting the vision. And I tell them, when you are ready, the right home will present itself. Mm-hmm. I promise you. And I can hold that certainty for you even when you can't. That's my job, actually. And so we're having it in if they can lean into their, usually those are my people, right? They're leaning into those conversations. They can understand it.
Yeah.
We might lose out on the house that they thought was going to be the one.
Yeah.
And I can say with such certainty, this was the warm up, you guys. This was the context you needed to really know the next one when it presents itself.
Yeah.
And so I get the beautiful gift of working with such wonderful clients.
Yeah.
But it is because I am allowing my truth to be out there.
Yeah.
So that people can find me.
I want to also say, like, as you're talking, what's coming through really clear is the fact that, like, don't be afraid. I'm talking to my community through the lens of Kelly. Like, the world needs actually, like, more than in any other space for light workers to come through in these really dense 3D boxes.
Yeah.
That you're actually being a true agent of what I call the new earth rising, and to use that as a gift to flex in full force. Like, I think about corporate America. I think about these really masculine spaces, and you can look around and feel like you have to fit in or that it's going to suffocate you. Or you can take the opposite perspective and say, I am here to shake this up and do it differently. And how, when we really truly give ourselves the permission to do that, we're not just healing like our business. We're not just healing our clients. We're actually fucking healing the world.
Yeah.
Like, what a deep calling and responsibility that we truly have as women who are awake.
Yeah.
And remembered, as I like to say. I don't like to use the word woo. I'm like really on this one lately. Like, it's just like a dumbed down way of making someone feel comfortable when you come across like a conscious, awake, remembered woman who's like here to do deep work.
Yeah.
And to hold that with such sovereignty and deep responsibility.
Yeah.
Because, like, at the end of the day, who gives a fuck what anyone else has to say about it? Because your work is so much bigger than the old paradigm.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes. And I think what a gift to I do believe as women, we need examples and models of this to give us that permission.
Yes.
That is part of the awakening.
It is.
And so
that's what we came here for, actually.
It is totally what we came here for. And I think part of the shift too is realizing, like, this actually isn't really about you. This is about the women behind you. And, like, this is about the women watching you. You helped unlock me. I'll help unlock other women behind me who are now next to me and then in front of me. Like, we're all just lights turning on, right? And so I've had to remember that in an industry that is so hyper-masculine, that wants to tell me where my place is, that wants to tell me exactly how to do it because they know best. And I've had to give myself the ultimate permission to know that, one, it's safe and it is okay. And it's part of my greater purpose on this earth. But it's because my, kind of back to your original question of, like, what am I hustling for? Yeah. What is my spiritual hustle for? It is for unlocking other women, giving them that, right? And being that example for them. So I've had to remind myself time and time again, Kelly, this isn't about you.
It's so important for you to speak that into the space, because when it comes to building a personal brand, right, which I believe, like, real estate agents have the ultimate opportunity and necessity for a personal brand. We had a lot of real estate clients in my agency, and I am in the personal branding space myself and building my brand. And I encourage everyone I talk to, work with, coach in my community, like, you have to think about this part of your business, your life. And the block is like, well, I don't want people to think it's so much about me.
Yeah.
But the truth is that if you do it from the right vibration, it's never been about you.
Right.
It's always been about service.
Right.
And calling forward a higher possibility for everyone you touch. You're just the vessel.
Yeah. And it's so normal to forget that.
Absolutely.
It's so normal. I mean, a big part of my journey of building my coaching business has been me forgetting that.
Say more about that.
And I just, I started something new, which is scary.
Yeah.
There's a lot of identity in that too, sure. Right? Like, I was Kelly the realtor. Like, now I'm Kelly the coach. And who am I? And what could I possibly know that could help people? I mean, there's so much imposter syndrome and things behind that. And so, it's scary to start a new business. And especially because that meant that I might be pulling some energy away from the business that was, my bread and butter and paying my salary and paying my employee's salary. And there's some scary things. And so you want it to work and work quickly and sort of prove yourself. And so at times it's really easy to hook back into what are the things I need to do and how do I need to show up and how is everybody else doing it so I can make sure that I do this right. And in doing that, you forget who you're serving.
Correct. You're making it about you.
You make it about you.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's probably countless at this point. The yeah. amount of times I had to go back and be like, this is not about you. This is about how and who you are serving and letting that just be the channel, because that's what worked with Home Collective. It was never about me, ever. It was always about who I was helping, whether that was clients buying and selling or the women that I was helping to develop and grow. And so I think it's very natural to forget that.
Yeah.
But it's just a mantra to put up somewhere.
Yeah, it is.
That can be the guiding light every day.
Right.
And it's not easy, right? Our egos get attached, want to really attach and really want to show up in certain ways and have a lot. I mean, this is, it's a whole other level of soul work.
As, yes, it is.
You know, to build any business. And you confront a lot when you do that.
You do.
And so to me, it's just been a big part of that journey of remembering that who I'm really here to serve, what I'm really doing.
And you're doing it, babe. You really are. I feel like you're calibrated. You know, I think Home Collective seems to be like humming, and it's the thing that you've built that you can, it's a legacy. And so is your future legacy with your coaching business. I mean, every time you talk about it, you light up. I mean, it's really your dharma.
I love it. Yeah.
And it goes back full circle to what we were saying at the beginning about the fires, right? Like that unlock that you had around understanding the trauma that you went through was not needing to be re-traumatized when you saw what happened to your hometown in LA, but that it was your opportunity to pour back in with love.
Yeah.
Because you had a higher perspective. Yeah. And the same thing goes exactly with your burnout story and what you're doing now with the women that you get to coach that were struggling, are struggling like you were just a few years ago. And we hear this all the time, but it is so fucking true that our mess, it's not a message, it's a medicine.
Yeah.
It becomes embodied as a code of deep wisdom. And we're no longer coming from like our minds and our hearts. Like someone once said to me, Michael Beckwith actually said this to me once, that when you speak from your mind and you speak from your heart, you can inspire people. Mm-hmm. But when you are embodied,
yeah,
you can activate people.
Yeah.
Isn't that so good?
Oh, it's so true.
And it's so true. And you are in this state of embodiment, Kelly. I mean, you always have been. Like, I fucking like admired your light for years. But to have you as a friend, as a client, as a partner, to really see the journey that you've assigned yourself and the joy.
Yeah.
That you've claimed.
It's been a joy journey, right? I mean, this is something we talked about in the summer, where that's part of this recipe too, right?
Yeah.
Is I just keep saying I'm on a joy journey right now because
I love it.
It's healing.
It is.
And a lot comes from it. There's a lot of inspiration. There's a lot of, you know, just beautiful things that land when you are operating from that place.
Changes everything.
Changes everything. And I think the thing that I love that you brought it, you could tie it back, right? It's the same thing in all of these different incidents where it was an opportunity to pour out and pour into others.
Yeah.
And something that I remember saying to you when your pup passed and that I held on very dearly to after losing my home was that grief is love with nowhere to go.
Yes.
Which means if we give love a place to go, it's so wildly healing. It is actually the remedy to everything. So pouring into other women, pouring into clients, like being on your joy journey. I mean, it's giving that love somewhere to go.
Making me cry, girl. This has been medicine. You are walking medicine. And I am so, thank you for that. I feel like I needed to hear that. And I want to honor Quantum Leap that I've seen in you since we started really diving in together, and what a true teacher you are for not just the women in your space, but women everywhere. And I want to close by asking you a few final quick fire questions.
Okay.
These are always really fun, and I can't wait to hear your answers. So do you have a favorite spiritual teacher?
This is might sound strange. Do you mean like in the human form?
Any form.
I literally have like so many answers to this. So, I mean, I love Michael Beckwith.
Yeah.
I mentioned him. I think this is one of the questions you have, but like one of the first spiritual books that I really love and still think so highly of, because I think it sent me on my journey, was Greg Braden's like The Spontaneous Healing of Belief. Anything Greg Braden.
I have like the biggest crush on him. Like I want him to mentor me. Yeah. If anyone in the space, like I'm like you, he's the best.
Yeah.
I love that you said him.
Yes, I love him.
He's like literally a light worker in every way. You love his book. That was going to be my second question. Do you have a favorite spiritual book?
I have so many.
I'm sure
it's
you do.
It's actually so wild actually that I lost all my books in the fire.
Yeah.
And it's actually that's the one material thing I'm the most sad, even though I could replace them all, because I don't remember what all of them were.
Yeah.
But they made me.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, but no, his book was one of the first, and I've given that to so many people.
Yeah. Have you ever read The God Code?
No.
Oh, we'll talk. do you believe in aliens?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
It's usually a yes or no question. And everyone's pretty much on the yes train if you come into my podcast. Okay. My final question for you. Okay. What, Kelly, does it mean to you to be a co-creator of the new earth?
It means living so true to my own authenticity, so I can do my part to usher in this higher level of consciousness that is truly here. It's here.
It is.
And so I am a channel for that. I am source. You are source. And the more I just honor that and accept it and live it is part of that. It's part of co-creating.
I say the co-creation of the new earth is happening in every moment of every single day with every single thought, belief, emotion, action, interaction. And you are a co-creator. And I'm so honored and blessed that you came on my show.
Thank you for having me.
Are you kidding me? Like, you are a masterclass.
Oh my gosh.
No, you are. You're a masterclass on, it's the truth, on living in alignment and all of the light and all of the dark. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for being, this is a light at the end of a very dark tunnel for me. And I laid in bed this morning. I'm so grateful for you and the work that you're doing. This is a light at the end of, I hope to God, is the end of the dark tunnel.
It is.
And so thank you. Thanks for allowing me to be here and just share snippets of my story.
You did. Thank you for drenching my world with your light.